good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater, and I've got Dan in the office with me. And Dan, this is going to be our 11th episode, or at least our 11th released episode.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. We had the one at the beginning that was a bit of a false start. But yeah, it's good to be back with you, Austin. I enjoyed listening to you and Tim last week, and a great conversation there. I was not able to be around that Sunday. I was out of town for Memorial Day, so it was good to...
Imagine having plans on Memorial Day weekend, right?
Yeah, it happens sometimes. We have our family tradition there, but it was good. I think from my perspective, being able to listen gave me a good window into that text and some of what Tim was talking about that Sunday. So yeah, but it's good to be back with you and looking forward to our time.
Yeah, it's great. And it's we also do want to thank, obviously, all of you who are listening to this. It would be a lot of fun for Dan and Tim and I to just monologue into the microphone, but it's great to know that people are hearing it. It's been great to hear from a few of you, just hearing some of your feedback. We love doing this. We love doing this for you guys. And so we're just really glad to have you around. Well, Dan, we've been going through the series on the Holy Spirit, and you just gave us a fascinating... There's so many different directions we could take this, but talking about the concept of spiritual skills and gifts, could you kind of sum that up for us?
Yes. Last week, Memorial Day weekend, was Pentecost Sunday. And so Pastor Tim kind of kicked off a series that thinking about the Holy Spirit was in Acts 1. And now the next several weeks, we're going to be in the Old Testament. We call it kind of echoes of the Holy Spirit, seeing how the Spirit was already at work and how this is pointing us to the big picture we'd see in the New Testament and still see today. So we were in the book of Exodus and seeing how the Spirit came upon some particular people in the Israelite camp, gifting them, empowering them for building the tabernacle. And so we were just highlighting the particular echo or work of the Spirit that connects with our spiritual gifts and abilities that God gives to us. And we said, especially how the Spirit takes the gifts and abilities we have and points them in God's direction and toward his purposes and working toward his kingdom. So fascinating story there with Bezalel and a few others with their skill of handiwork and that being utilized for the building of the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was really interesting because one of the things that really stuck out to me was looking at how, you know, yes, there are the spiritual gifts as we traditionally think of them. There may be the speaking in tongues. There may be prophecy. There may, you know, all of these. I don't know how to really, like, lofty, high, almost magical elements of the,
You know, ones gifts that come to mind, too, right away.
Right. But then you were talking a lot about how even just normal skills and talents and gifts can be spiritual gifts. And that was just a really interesting new perspective and new take on that. I really appreciated you pointing that out.
Yeah, I think this text, I actually preached on this almost 4 years ago here, 3.5 years ago. We did a series on spiritual gifts and was drawn to this one. And it's very clear that the Spirit here is empowering the gift of handiwork. And there's so many people who are good with their hands and skilled in work, whether it's artistic designs or craftsmanship or, you know, those kind of, even things like cooking, and to think, oh, yeah, those are not just practical gifts, but also spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. They can be valuable in the service of the Lord and valuable in the community of God's people. And so I think that's been important for me to continue to see and understand, because you're right, certain, you know, the gift of prophecy and the gift of, like you said, speaking in tongues or even prayer and those kind of, well, of course, those are spiritual gifts.
Right.
But sometimes we dismiss things that we might just say, well, yeah, those are just kind of natural abilities.
Yeah, well, and I think it's interesting, too, because then we so often like to, or at least I wouldn't say all of us like to do this, but some of us have the natural proclivity of self-depreciation and saying, well, I don't have any real spiritual gifts. Those are the gifts of the talented people. All I can do is, you know, fix something, or all I can do is, you know, have good conversations with my friends or whatnot. But just realizing that those can be spiritual gifts is really encouraging to people who might not necessarily have something as flashy as they might want. But then, you know, wanting flashy spiritual gifts also can be a sign of some other interesting stuff.
Right. I think that's what Paul's addressing in Corinthians. Mm-hmm. Some of that, like, well, here's the real spiritual gifts. You know, if you can't speak in tongues, I'm sorry, but you're kind of down on the totem pole. So yes, we do need to be careful there. But You're right. I think a lot of times we are easy to dismiss who we are.
Yeah.
What we have.
And the gifts that God has given us that we might not even necessarily originally think of as gifts.
Yeah. And yeah, people find positive things in you, you know, for a variety of reasons. And sometimes it's because you can do things. If you have a job and you're able to do things, you know, with certain equipment or thinking about things, that maybe it's mathematics or just your personality, right? Mm-hmm. People are drawn to you. You're just a, you know, someone who's got a joyful personality and people enjoy being around you. These are all things that are gifts and mm-hmm. certainly that God would have empowered by his spirit to his purposes.
And helps, you know, and he just redirects and focuses that. One of the things that I did want to ask some clarification on here, one of the slides you had up there was talking about our definition of a skill in this specific context and conversation. And you'd said that a skill is the ability to do something of value for God and his people. And I've got a few questions off of that. And first off, just kind of to clarify, you know, who are God's people in this context? Is this something that it's like only, you know, a skill is something that's honoring for God and Christians who we consider God's people? Or is this God's people more expansive than that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I'll start off saying, too, for me in the sermon, thinking about those words, skill, understanding, knowledge, those are the three we used. That first part of the definition is really the definition of skill, right? Being able to produce something of value. Where the Holy Spirit's work comes in is it's valuable to God and to the church, as it were. But to answer that question, you know, I think there's actually three aspects, right, to it. It's first and foremost with God, right, to glorify him. And certainly we think of that as a Christian and using these skills and abilities to glorify the Lord and to serve his purposes. But then it's not just a vertical connection, right? We're not just sitting in this room, you know, mm-hmm. and doing things. There's people we live with. And I think Scripture's instructive here. Often when, in the New Testament too, when Paul's writing about doing things and doing loving others, he will mention both aspects of what you did about the church and the larger world. Mm-hmm. And often, like in Galatians, I think it's in Galatians 6, talks about don't give up doing good to people, especially to those amongst the people of God. In other words, if you can't be building up the people you're in fellowship with in Christ, if you're not using your gifts in order to encourage them, to build up the church, well, you're probably not going to take that the next step to your neighbors who maybe don't agree with you on these things. But I believe the implication goes out all the way, right?
Okay.
That we should be, you know, thinking about how we're using our gifts. Part of valuing God and glorifying God, and that it's going to go out. It's not just limited to mm-hmm. when I'm around Christians or Sunday when I'm in for worship or maybe this right. other day of the week when I'm here for this ministry. But those should be coming through to my neighbors who maybe aren't believers. Mm-hmm. And they might not, you know, recognize as I'm trying to be an encourager to them, or maybe I have the chance to pray with them because I have that gift, or I can do handiwork for them as an example from this text, right? You're able to build something for your mm-hmm. neighbor. They might not think of it as, you know, well, this is something that's glorifying God, but you are doing that with that in mind and really gotcha. Because of that.
So it's definitely not something that you're thinking of as exclusionary. So the reason I ask is because there was this book that I read a few years back when it first came out by a guy named Rod Dreher called The Benedict Option. And he was looking at what one of, I think it was one of the Pope Benedicts, one of, you know, 14 or however many of them there have been, and looking at how, you know, in the author's mind, he's like, well, you know, what the church really needs to do and what Christians really need to do is invest almost exclusively in our local communities. Mm. And so looking at, like, go almost exclusively to Christian schools and support almost exclusively Christian businesses. And so what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, yes, we do need to be doing those things because if we can't do it with our family of believers, we can't do it outside. So, yeah, we do need to be doing that, but that should not, we should not be intentionally just using our talents to strengthen people in the church, but just to we should also use them to strengthen our community, even non-believers.
Yeah, so maybe we think of it this way, right? When we think of our bodies, first and foremost, and right, I'm getting a little bit older, so you start thinking more about internal health things than maybe I did in my 20s and my heart and cholesterol levels. And when I'm taking good care of that, maybe I'm getting my exercise, I'm eating well, and my heart is healthier, right? Then my outward health is also better, right? And the energy I have and maybe the things and probably even my, you know, confidence in myself is better because of I'm healthier inside out. I believe it's the same for the church. As we are using the gifts God's given to us and we're caring for each other well, we're practicing these things within the time we're together in worship and ministry. Well, I truly believe, and I've seen it, that as we go out, because we can't just stay in a bubble all the time, and I don't believe we should either, but as we go out, right, we are healthier. We are more enabled and ready and even confident to go out to our neighbors and into our communities and be acting in God-like, right, in God-character ways to the community around us. So I really think there is that, as we are really living this out, even in community, we are strengthened to witness in more powerful ways as well with the gifts God's given to us. So I think there is a correlation there. And yeah.
Well, that's a really helpful analogy as we're just trying to think of it as looking at like the internal body and how it relates to our outward health.
Right. And it could be deceiving, right? I mean, we're a decent-sized church here at Friendship, and just like, you know, I could be doing things and on the outside of my body, it looks really good, and, oh, yeah, you got some muscle tone, and, you know, you look like you got the right weight and all this and that, but inside, my numbers are messed up, right,
gotcha.
So to speak. And that could be true of any church, too, mm-hmm. where it's like, well, yeah, look at that parking lot. It's full. But if we're not living into the power of the Spirit, really, to go back mm-hmm. to our theme here, well, yeah, we're not going to be healthy, and we're not going to be really using, you know, the strength, the health,
right.
the identity we have for the life of the world, which mm-hmm. is really our calling as well.
Yeah.
So,
well, and so actually that kind of transitions into another thought I'd been wanting to ask you about. So you were kind of using the analogy in this case of, you know, we've got to make sure our internal health is right so that our external health can be right as well. You know, those mm-hmm. play off and into each other. And I was wondering about the cases where our external health may be right, but our internal health may be wrong. So, like, for example, one of the things you kind of talked about was how non-believers often have these gifts, too. They're not redirected by the Spirit, necessarily, but non-believers can have these gifts, these talents, these skills, these knowledges sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I was just thinking, like, man, there have been some times where I've seen non-believers who do not have the quote-unquote right motivation, but man, they're acting like believers really should. They're taking care of the sick, the widow, the mm-hmm. orphan, you know, and they're not doing that for the glory of God necessarily. They're just doing that because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have on the opposite side, you've got people who are, you know, they believe in Jesus, they love Jesus, they're not doing any of these things. And we obviously know it's through grace, not works, that we're saved. But I'm just wondering, in these cases, you know, I'm not necessarily going to say who's more right, because, you know, I think that there's wrong in both of that. But just what are your thoughts as to, you know, non-believers living Christ-like lives versus believers not living Christ-like lives? How do we sit with that?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question, and there's a reason that over the years this has been a topic of discussion and even scriptural interpretation, you know, talking about different things like common grace and what does it mean to do a good work. And even in the catechism, there's a specific Q&A that deals with that and talks about the three elements that make up, you know, a good work. And because you're right, at times you see someone doing things, you're like, that is exactly, from my Christian perspective, the way we need to be living. But they wouldn't have the confession of faith or anything mm-hmm. like that. And other times, of course, yeah, in the church, we can be, you know, way off in the way right. we're acting. Maybe our voice as far as what we believe is good, but the actions behind that aren't. So in the sermon, I mentioned that, you know, gifts and abilities like handiwork, even like being an encourager. There's some spiritual gifts maybe you say are a little different to translate, like faith or something like that. But a lot of these gifts, you know, everybody has in general to some extent, right? People, of course, are great craftsmen. I've had great doctors work on me and perform surgeries on me who were not believers, right? Mm-hmm. That's an incredible
yeah.
skill and ability, and you can go on and on. And I think the distinction we talked about is the Spirit's work in directing that towards God's purposes. But there is mystery, too, in how God works at times, you know, and he talks, of course, in Scripture about someone like the Persian king, right, this is my instrument. And of course, the Persian king wouldn't say, yes, I'm serving the Lord and doing this, but God says, he's going to work my purposes here mm-hmm. and do these things. And oftentimes I wonder, too, in the mystery of God, like how someone who might not be giving any kind of confession toward God or belief, but in the things they're doing, they're actually unwittingly doing the things of the Lord, right? And I don't know how that all plays out in the larger scheme.
Right.
But I think it owes to the mystery of how God works as well. And even in the power, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, how the Spirit works too. We even see it, the Spirit's mysterious even in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's parts where even people who you think, well, that, why is the Spirit coming on this person? They seem they seem kind of off right now. I mean, even Saul has this time where he's like prophesying, and it's
right.
sometimes when he seems pretty far lost down the road. And why would the Spirit come on him in that way at this time? You know, and so God is God. We've talked about this before, and he does work in ways that we wouldn't anticipate. But I think there's a humble piece, too, that you, I don't know if you had this in mind, but for me it hits home as I sit here as a Christian and think about the church. It's easy to get on your high horse and, well, we're working for the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing these things in the power of the Spirit. And we certainly hope and trust that we are. And I know you and Tim talked last week about what are some of the indicators of seeing this is the Spirit's work versus this is me.
Mm-hmm.
But to be reminded that we don't do anything that's valuable to God without his grace, without the work of his Spirit. And as we look at people who maybe aren't making the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to know that, well, God is still there. He's still working. And he might work in surprising ways and might work through them, even if at the end of the day they never would confess. He still might work, you know, powerful ways through something they're doing that's going to help someone else be open to the gospel.
Right.
And
well, and that's, and your example of Saul really hits well there, I think, because again, Saul is a person who a lot of us look back on and we're like, that guy had some problems.
It ended poorly.
It ended very poorly. And so then again, to be, you know, reminded that, you know, God will use even these people that, man, we really think they are not living in line sometimes with what we should be.
And there's probably some wisdom. See, I think of Paul as well in the New Testament, too, when there's kind of this complaint that comes to him about people who are preaching the gospel, but almost in opposition to him. And Paul writes in the letter that, you know, at least the gospel being preached. You know, they might think they're doing it to get ahead themselves, but they're proclaiming the gospel. They don't realize. And there's other times when he definitely says, like, oh, this isn't good. But there seems to be some wisdom as to, oh, this person doesn't realize it, but they are actually glorifying God in this, even if that would not be the thing they'd want to do.
Well, and I think that, you know, even to bring it down from necessarily a non-believer, but just to look at the various different faith traditions in the Christian faith.
Mm.
You know, we can look at, we're here at a Christian Reformed church, but then, you know, there's also Baptist churches and Episcopal churches and Catholic churches even. And, like, that's one of those, again, humbling things to say, hey, you know, the gospel is being preached, and we might not agree with everything here.
Mm-hmm.
They might say the same about us. And let's find that unity in spirit and that unity in who we worship.
Right. And I guess in this day and age, that's become more challenging in some ways because there seems to be so many lines getting drawn in the sand. And sometimes there needs to be.
Yeah.
And other times we draw them when we don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting, too, because, you know, you and I sit here and we have, you know, maybe some similar gifts, but no doubt some different ones too. But you see that in groups as well.
Yes.
In my life, getting to know some different denominations, even my own family has some different denominational background. Growing up in a Chicago area, the urban area, there's lots of different, of course, expressions of the church. And some church denominations and backgrounds seem to have collectively different gifts, you know, things that they do really well and are needed in the power of the Spirit, and then others. You know, for instance, the Reformed tradition maybe has the skill of knowledge. It's often a very careful doctrinal tradition, and that's good, right? There's need for that, and thinking through these things and what this means and what do we believe about Jesus or the Holy Spirit. And then you have others that, boy, the emphasis, the gift on, you know, evangelism and mission and going out, and they're leading the way in that so often. So even in groups, how the Spirit empowers.
It is very interesting how that tends to, and, you know, how it's, it reminds us that, yes, we all have the individual gifts of the Spirit, but also we are more than just the individuals. Mm-hmm. We are a part of a body.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, and, you know, this is just me pulling this, you know, out of my head right now. So it could be a poor analogy, but looking at how, like, you know, our eyes are all, you know, it's one eye, but it's all made up of a lot of different parts that do similar things for a similar purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking at, you know, yeah, you know, we could be here in the Christian Reformed Church. We're really focused on the academic and the intellectual. And we're doing different things in that area, but that tends to be our strength.
Sure.
And then there is the other part of the body that, you know, I grew up in a Baptist background, and they're very focused on mission and going out and being a part of, you know, translation and really focused on a lot of that stuff. And there's a lot of different types of Baptists and a lot of different things mm-hmm. within the Baptist church, but a lot of them are doing the hands.
Sure.
Or the feet or what have you. And so I think that's a really interesting way to look at it in that, like, yeah, we all have individual leanings within our section. But also our sections tend to have different giftings of the
yeah.
Spirit. And that the hand cannot say to the eye, I don't need you. And the eye
right.
cannot say to the foot, I don't need you.
Right. That's really good. I think using the body image that Paul goes to several times of, we think of that within a local church, right? You know, okay, you and I are different parts, different gifts, but we need each other. But even across the Christian spectrum around the world, how we need all the different expressions, right? And one of the things here at Friendship, we have this church-to-church partnership with a sister church in Kenya,
mm-hmm.
and we're hoping to grow that now that the pandemic's kind of subsided and we're have more opportunity to travel in that. But their expression, of course, of the faith is quite a bit different. Cultural
right.
backgrounds, I mean, you understand this much better than me, but there's so much that we can learn from each other and see that, wow, they can do things that maybe we would not or could not.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just different, that's the beauty of it, I think,
yeah.
seeing God's work in the church through his Holy Spirit, all the different ways God's working for his purposes.
Mm-hmm.
None of us could do this ourselves individually, but none of us could do it ourselves. Like Friendship Church can't just do this ourselves. The Christian
right.
Reformed Church can't, it's all needed. And
it's all redirected by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To pull that
yeah.
all back.
Yeah. And that's it too. I think that's, you know, while we want to maintain the truth of the gospel and all that, and sometimes we lament the fracturing of the church in some ways. But we do need these different expressions in order for the word to go out and be received as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because certain people are drawn to a Christian Reformed church setting. Certain people are going to be drawn to a Baptist church setting or a certain expression or more of a Pentecostal. And that's, you know, being drawn to Christ. God's working
mm-hmm.
through the Holy Spirit to
yeah.
bring them home, right? And
right.
bring them where they belong and redirect their gifts and skills. And so I think it is a beautiful thing to see the work of the Spirit that way. And that, to me, just one of the beauties, God doesn't just work with one type of person.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
It's, you know, he is all
things.
Well,
and he doesn't work with one type of culture, and he doesn't work with one, you know, one type of anything. He takes this beautiful fractured mosaic and
mm-hmm.
rearranges it. I think that's just one of the coolest things. Because,
mm-hmm.
again, you know, like we were saying, the church in Kenya looks, what it can do and what it can speak into is very different than the church in West Michigan, which is very different from the church in Lebanon, which is very different from the church in China.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that any one of these areas are less important or even less accurate, but they're just doing Jesus's redemptive work in a different context and way than we might be able to.
Yeah. And that kind of ties back to where you went right at the beginning of our conversation and just kind of that tendency some of us might have to kind of play down who we are and the gifts we have because, you know, oh, you know, even we do these like Enneagram
right.
stuff
yeah,
and it's
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of like, well, if you're not this number, you know, that's really the good numbers there. You know?
This is the Christian
yeah,
number.
Exactly. There's some of that,
there's,
right?
There's, yeah.
And so
yeah.
and that can be, if I'm not that, then it's like, well, gee, I'm just kind of less than.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can do that with spiritual gifts the same way. Like, well, I can't speak well. I'm not an outgoing person. Fill in the blank, right? Whatever it is to downplay that. Instead, to hear now the Spirit saying, you know, I made you that way. And I want to use who you are, you know, for my glory, but also to fulfill my purposes. You are needed in the body of Christ. You are needed. Your neighbor needs you in this way. I need what you have, what you've been made for. And that's a good reminder, just like that's true collectively for any church around the world, it's true individually as well,
mm-hmm.
That there is not only something you can do of value for God, but that comes from the fact that he made you with value,
mm-hmm.
sees exactly, knows exactly what you bring and can bring and would have you bring through the Spirit. So I think that, to tie back to what you did at the start, and just to say, yes, there's not a person who'd be listening to this that doesn't have something that is valuable to others and certainly couldn't glorify God with.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit would delight, right? Delights in empowering those things and having us see not only how, boy, this is worshipful to God and it's lifting others up, but you know what? I feel more whole as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beauty. We don't want to leave ourselves out of it. God brings us glory
through
these things too. And we just are who we are as we're living that way. So yeah, I could go on and on. It's good. It's good to talk more about it. So
good stuff. And hopefully this is also stuff that we can dive into in some more episodes as we go further into this section on the Holy Spirit. I'm so excited to see more, to learn more, to ask more questions.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Dan, for your time. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for your insight. Thank you, audience, for joining with us. Again, as always, if you have any questions, feel free to send them to me at aslater@friendshipcrc.org. And we'll wrestle with them. We love hearing any feedback. All of you go in peace and go in the knowledge that we all have some really heckin' cool gifts and that we're loved by the Spirit and that we're redirected by the Spirit. Go in peace, everyone.